The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Angry girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Welcome, my brother, mean advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middleest brother, Travis McElroy.
I'm your baby brother, Griffin McElroy.
Boy, the excitement is palpable. It's Sunday morning. We're just 2.5 hours from learning the identity of the new Doctor Who. And
do you know what this is? I know how to equate this for people who don't watch Doctor Who. This is like nerd draft.
Yeah, but
it's not really anything like what you just said.
It's like
really
nerd primaries.
It's like, here's the thing, though. The one thing I wanted to say is that I like my chances.
Yeah. Oh. Have you been? What step are you currently in the casting process, Justin?
Well, I'm telling anyone who listened that I like my chances, and that's how rumors get started.
And you know what? Confidence is so key in this game.
Key.
And you took out a full page ad in the in that one British newspaper that just said for your consideration, and then
for your consideration,
wearing a very long scarf.
It just said, Dr. Me? Mm-hmm. Question mark.
Dr. Who? Me? Maybe. It's up to you. Do it, Britain.
I had an unconventional thing where, like, you know how, like, I wore the scarf that Tom Baker wore, mm-hmm. and I had, like, the coat that David Tennant wore, mm-hmm. and then I also had the coat that all the doctors have worn, and I wore them all on top.
And you were wearing a fez. Like, you sat down with the writers, and you're like, guys, cast me. I have a great idea. I'm like the mashup guy, where, like, I traveled through time, and I got all my garments, so I'm really all the doctors in one.
And if you take away all my coats, then I'm just, inside, I'm just a ghost. Not a real doctor. Who would you guys like to see as the new, who's your ideal Doctor Who?
Oof, God.
So tough. What's David Tennant doing?
So he's otherwise occupied.
I think it would it would be a real baller move for them to just be like, he is the 13th Doctor. And be like,
what if it just looked like him? It was David Tennant, but
it, he always talked like this. What do you mean I look like
Z.
For me, it's a toss-up between, because, like, it seems to oscillate between, like, sort of the austere Doctor and the, like, playful, fun Doctor. So for me, it's really between Jeff Goldblum or Zachary Ty Bryant.
I would love to see ZTB get back in the mix.
It can go, because, like, his would be, like, a fresh, fun, like, when they cast Matt Smith, they were like, this is going to be a fresh, fun Doctor, and they were right, he was fresh and fun. But if they want to go a different route, something a little more dignified, something with more pauses in his speech,
mm-hmm.
you
mm-hmm.
go with the Bloom. Right. You ride the Bloom.
But if you want to keep it even fun, so you're saying if they need a 180 from Matt Smith to someone who's even more fun and mm-hmm. even more fresh, you'd turn to Zachary Ty Bryant.
You turn to Zachary Ty Bryant because, really, it's his fucking time to shine.
What if you got an actor who already had experience as a doctor, and you got mm-hmm. George Clooney?
He was great as Batman.
He was great as Batman. Batman and Doctor are basically the same person. You ever notice how you don't see the Doctor and Batman in the same room at the same time?
Yeah. Not in my fan fiction.
LLD! Geronimo!
Who's the guy that people are floating right now? The real guy?
Peter Capaldi.
Peter McNichol.
Peter McNichol! That's good. From the hit show Ally McBeal and Slave to Vigo.
They haven't had a doctor with a forehead that's really like a 7 or 8 head. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They haven't slap a dignified forehead on that doctor. And then go on some space-time adventures.
We've given enough advice to the people at BBC. We should help some actual people. This is still an advice program, after all. I mean, for crying out loud.
Although, side note, if you want a three-headed doctor, we will all play it together. Oh, like in a Greek chorus.
How about that art? Put it on our Facebook, and we'll send you a dollar.
Can we put the dancing baby as the doctor from Alan?
Ooh, I love that guy. Ooga Chaga, right, you guys?
Right, where is he? Where has he been?
Put that. He's now a dancing middle-aged man.
Oh, that's...
He would thwart anyone. Like, what are you going to do to a baby in a long scarf and 11 coats that's just dancing?
Mm-hmm. Do you want a jelly baby? How about a dancy baby?
What about Johnny Depp? Because he's got a pretty distinct style. You know what I mean? Like, he's already got all the scarves. He's already he
guys,
wears mini
thank you
coats.
So much for having me, considering me. I really appreciate the role. Would like it to be more of like a... like a racist caricature. I was thinking, what if the doctor was like, yo, man, yo. What do you think?
How would that go? What if he said, I saw, get in my tardies. Like that. What do you think? I think it would be really fresh take.
It's about time for these races to be represented in our culture.
Let's tear down these walls.
I really think that I... am the vehicle. I'm the crucible through which these races will be presented.
I think I could play Samoan. Am I right, you guys?
Just a big fat doctor. Think about it. Big fat Samoan doctor.
That's
think
racist.
About it.
That you think all Samoans are overweight?
I don't think that, but that's what Johnny Depp thinks. He's a racist in this. Because Doctor Who's a racist, so it's a great fit.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that old bit? Remember that old gag we used to do about Doctor Who being a giant racist? Oh man, classic! Dig it out of the archives.
We already did one clip show. We can't keep fucking reviving the past. And
no, we haven't done like a flashback clip show though, where it's like,
oh
hey,
shit,
you guys remember that time?
Did what did everybody think of the clip show? I didn't see the reaction.
Nobody liked it.
Nobody liked it. All right, well, good good to know. Let's do a new one then. Recently, my teenage sister has begun to claim that she is gluten sensitive. She says she gets diarrhea whenever consuming these products. This has resulted in a lot of inconvenience, as we now have to screen every restaurant's gluten-free options to see if we can eat there or not. She's the only one in our family with any food allergy. However, she will often eat donuts, breads, and other snack foods, or even whole dinners, which do contain glutens, with apparently few side effects. And when we remind her of this, she says she doesn't care because she wants it. Mm. Am I right in calling her out in these situations, or should I just keep quiet and let her deal with her own side effects, if any? That's from Gluten Trouble in Green, Texas. Ooh, that's a tough one.
No, it's not. Fuck that noise.
When she starts eating too many donuts, you stand up, you point at her and yell, you're a gluten.
Well, no, you say, I had four fucking peanuts for dinner last night because we went to a nice restaurant that catered to your delicate constitution. But and now you're over here slamming super donuts? That doesn't seem fair. Am I misreading the question?
No, you're absolutely correct. Happening. I think, okay, let me first and foremost state that there are people in this world that are gluten sensitive and have gluten allergies, and this is a real thing. That said, I think that this is one of those things that especially younger people, and it's going to become like a fad thing where people go, yeah, I'm also gluten sensitive because I put on weight when I eat a lot of bread, or, you know, I get a tummy ache when I eat too many donuts. And it's just people trying to be cool and have something special about them that they're not, unless they really do. At which point,
unless they
I
really
feel
do.
For you,
that shit's no joke.
Yeah,
you get when you get that. What is it? Fucking the bone. You get like Cialis. That's not what it is. I don't think it's Cialis boner pills.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what you get. I don't think that's what you get if you eat too much, like bread and pasta.
No, I think that that's.
Although that's I've gone to the spaghetti factory before and have food that was so good that it chubbed me.
I think that she can have it one of two ways. Either she can stick to her fake gluten story, or you can start flipping this on her. And when she complains about going to a restaurant that doesn't have good gluten free options, you say, "Well, I want it."
Yeah,
I thought that like
because
I thought that went in this family.
If she has Cialis, then like. She wouldn't be eating donuts and be like, oh, I'm so bad. Special treat for me. She'd be like, ah, my bones don't work.
Yeah.
Ah, my bones.
I would say it's, in all probability, it's an attention-getting thing where she's like, well, we need to go to the restaurant I want to go to because of my gluten sensitivity.
Maybe she just loves steak. She just fucking loves it. And she'll only go to a place to have that.
Listen, guys, I'm sorry. We're going to have to go to Sizzler again.
I don't want to go to Bread Barn.
Sizzler
has wonderful gluten-free options, by the way.
I don't think... Is gluten-sensitive the right term? Because this makes her sound like some sort of psychic, some sort of esper.
I feel the gluten's pain.
There's some sourdough nearby.
Wait, do you hear that?
I can feel it in my Cialis bones.
Put both your hands behind your back. Put a scode in one of them. Okay. It's left.
This fall from NBC. There's bread nearby. Get out of here.
Bread Hunter.
7 Eastern, 6 Central. Cialis Sisters.
Friday nights at 11:20.
Jeff Goldblum is the gluten hunter.
A 10-minute PSA disguised as a television show produced by Jeff Goldblum.
Just like you used to watch in high school about basically any topic.
I don't think that anybody's gluten insensitive.
Whoa.
But
wait,
if that was a real thing, I'd know. Of course people are. But I wish I was. That's what I wanted to say.
Is it basically carbs? Is that what gluten's only in bread and shit?
So here's the thing about it, though. This is where they trick you. Think like, oh, that would be great because I could stop eating bread, maybe lose a few of these LBs. But then, oops, twist, beer.
Yeah.
It's anything derived from wheat, I guess. So and beer
gluten,
is out.
I think gluten... I've learned from watching Alton Brown that gluten is like the bonds that form with like wheat and stuff and bread and stuff with the sugars.
You turn to my brother and me for one thing, and that's nutritional.
That's right? How you get that fucking Cialis disease is the gluten gets inside your bones and it's like, oh, do you want me to stick these bones together? And it's like, no, gluten. Gluten, I want you to be digested, and I want you to turn into energy for my body that I can use to play sports. It's like,
okay, so I'll just stick them together.
Let me just get your hip and your fibia, and oops, I fucked up. Sorry, I'll do better next time. You won't, gluten.
Hey, I made you have diarrhea. Sorry, I hit a button or something.
Let me just get
I was carrying this tray, and I bumped it with my hip. That was my bad, you guys.
I hope you liked that donut earlier, because I'm really taking you to Doogie's now.
Let me just get absorbed in your colon and
bad.
I did it bad. Sorry, guys.
Tried our best. Ah, gluten.
Gluten, you're so dumb.
Griffin, how about Yahoo?
Yeah, I got some Yahoos. Thanks, everybody, for sending in Yahoos. I had 2 weeks' worth to choose from, which is always very exciting. This Yahoo is sent in by Meredith Mahan. Thanks, Meredith. It's by Yahoo Answers User ? By the way, you guys know that when a Yahoo Answers username is ? That means they've been kicked off of the Yahoo Answers service, but their questions remain. Somebody told me haunting. That. That seems crazy to me. Like, why wouldn't they delete the questions, too?
Well, because the wisdom is still permeating the system.
Yeah. I like to think of this as, like, their tombstone. the Yahoo Answers epitaph. Ever since I've done yoga, ladies started to really feel attracted around me like a magnet.
Yeah.
Does yoga release a lot of pheromones or something? Because females keep staring at me and touch me as well. Also come close.
Uh-huh. Is that at the end? Like,
I don't know if that's a direct command.
There's one other thing.
It's that it opens your genital chakras.
I mean, okay. All right, let's, we've already debunked gluten.
Right, that's not real. Gluten doesn't exist.
Gluten doesn't exist unless it does, if you have Cialis. Can we talk, like, is there some shit to this? Like, can you get, like, Travis, you strike me as the only person of the three of us that has ever actually done yoga.
I mean, I did bullshit theater yoga.
I've done some yoga in my time. I got a morning routine, helps me wake up.
You do that sun salute?
I do that sun salute to down face dog. Love it.
Name two more.
Upward facing baby.
Bendo.
Bendo is...
stork presses. The windmill swing.
The life of pie.
Jedi attack.
Dragon squeeze.
You do that pomegranate slider.
Mm-hmm.
Yips.
Jamba juice.
Pinkberry.
Jamba Jovi. That's just some of my yoga moves. I I mean, if I played Street Fighter 2, if Yoga could teach you to spit fire at people,
sure,
and shoot your leg across the battlefield,
shoot your leg across there, I don't see why.
God, we are making some gross racial misrepresentations.
I didn't do it. Street Fighter and David Tennant did, or sorry, Johnny Depp.
Nah, David Tennant's pretty racist too.
Yeah, probably.
Slander, slander, slander.
I think there's probably some shit to this. I think, okay, meditation probably has some sort of, I mean, it definitely has some sort of psychological centering effect on you that I think makes your brain game a little healthier. I think we can all sort of just acknowledge that face value fact.
That's granted. Why Buddhist monks laid on 24/7.
Yeah. I think there's some shit to this. I don't know about, like, the, you know, third eye and shit like that, but I think it probably does make you, like, more confident. Certainly makes you limberer, and God knows.
But he did it once. I just want to throw out in this question, the question asker did yoga once.
I mean, he phrased it as, I've done yoga. So that does kind of make it sound like a last...
He's completed yoga. He solved it.
Last Saturday, there was a free class at the JC.
This is interesting because we had a question from a yoga guy who... everyone he dated thought he would be like really spiritual and stuff, right? And we
had that
centered
guy
all the time,
and he's not, because he's like just a dude that like watches Ninja Warrior at night and like eats Slim Jims and jerks off. Like, he's just like every other dude in that those are the three things.
But there's every other guy.
There's something in his aura from doing yoga that is attracting people to him, that they're led to that. I think maybe we just like anybody that'll take the time to stretch. Maybe that's it. Like, if you oh,
I'm like,
man.
A man who doesn't pull his hammies.
You took the time to really stretch, and I didn't do that, and I've never done that. So I am envious of you.
Yeah.
I respect you.
I think there's probably some sort of... I think there are these power centers inside of our body. Now, stick with me.
Okay. I'm into it. Go on, Griff.
Okay. There are power centers inside our body.
Mm-hmm.
From which we project our auras, if that's what you want to call it.
Or Care Bear stares, if you will.
And when, yeah, if you want to think about it that way. And then when you align that shit,
mm-hmm.
like the planets, then your shit gets like way more powerful and people can read that shit and will want to fuck you.
I actually read about that in Malcolm Gladwell's The Outliers.
Mm-hmm.
He said that exact paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
You're just cribbing. You know, let me hit you with this other thing that I have for you. This is another observation. A lot of times when you're trying to get to the bottom of something, like scientifically, you got to look at X factors. What are the qualifying things that might also be causing a reaction so you can separate causation? Do you maybe have some really cool pants you wear while yoga? Do they have like... maybe a sweet dragon on them, or they say like...
or an enumerated list of things that make you an attractive sexual partner.
Yeah.
Like, what if you put on the pants and up one leg it says like, number one, cool dick. Number two, I can have sex for a super long time without stopping. Number three, I don't sweat very much.
Is it possible that this person was just like perfectly balanced at unattractive and attractive? And then they did yoga, and it was just like the feather on the scale that just tipped it over into attractive.
But you're saying that as if like every member of the opposite sex,
mm-hmm.
It thinks of like people doing yoga as like, oh, that's, yeah, I want that.
No,
for me, that's...
it goes even deeper, because unless he's advertising it, unless he's walking to the bar going, by the way, ladies, yoga guy right here, then it's just that the ladies can sense it.
I think like, if anyone ever did that thing that you just said, it would clear the room, I think, probably. Hey, yoga man. Hey, no big deal, guys. But yoga man right here. Hey, you ever been with a genuine yoga man?
The party can start right now, folks.
I'm not selling you snake oil, although I will rub snake oil essentially on your body while we yoga together. Sexually.
It's better than yogurt, man. That's what I tried to get going for a while. That did not pan out.
Sometimes I just walk in and say, good humor, man. And people are like, ooh. And I'm like, no, I just tell jokes.
Yahoo Answers user Maria responded and said, girls like when guys do yoga because there's lots of yoga moves that can be incorporated into sex and lead to a massive orgasm. Two things. two points of order, if I may.
Go on.
I don't think... Are they talking about the massive orgasm for the partner or for the person doing the yoga? Because I don't think any... I don't think that, quote, massive orgasm, end quote, is something that the other person is ever looking for that person to have. Like, oh, man! Here comes a bucket!
Did you just do the dragon squeeze?
Whoa!
Jesus Christ!
Second...
Oh my God, was that a Jamba Jovi? My legs fell off.
That would be an unconventional pickup line. Like, hey girl, tonight I would like to have a massive orgasm and I would very much like your attendance to my orgasm. I would like you to be there. I need a witness. I need a second.
There are some things I would like to incorporate into our lovemaking.
I need a spotter for the massive orgasm I'm going to have.
Just give me some orange juice afterwards and make sure I'm in a safe place.
Some orange juice and graham cracker. It'll be very, very much like after giving blood. That is how drained I will be.
Hey, listen, girl. If you see me start to shake around, you just put a wooden spoon in my mouth and just try to stay back. This is going to be a massive orgasm.
I'll give you a list of my emergency contacts, so if you need to call my parents or something.
Secondly, I don't think people actually look at people doing yoga and try and figure out how the geometry of the shape of their bodies in those positions would align with a sexual... Like, when I see somebody with their, like, legs bent behind them and their elbows bent behind them and they are sticking their pelvis directly in the air, forming a circle with their bodies, mm-hmm. I don't look at that and immediately think, like... That would be cool to have sex with. I think, like, trying to have sex with that is like when you go to the beach and your beach towel, like, keeps crumpling up beneath you and you try to, like, flatten it out so you can get a good sit going, but it's uncooperative. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
No.
Do you mean it's like going to, like, a pool and you can't figure out the chairs and how they collapse?
That's exactly what, thank you. That's a way, way, way better metaphor.
Do you think that there is one yoga pose... Like, you could pair them off so that for every yoga pose, there's a corresponding pose, another one, that would have perfect sex with it.
Like a complimentary, like if you do downward-facing dog and upward-facing cat. Oh, look out.
Then you get outward-facing orgasm everywhere.
Ah, gross.
Well, I'm going to have to move again.
What if you were in a yoga class and your instructor said... Now I've been working on this position for a while. It's going to be really cool. And then he, like, he folds himself up and transforms into a car and drives away.
He doesn't need to eat hot food. He just does it. He just... Just like that. That's the noise. Okay, I got another question. I'm a guy.
Okay.
Whenever I see friends who I've not spoken to in a while, I don't have any good catching up questions. I feel like maybe this is a guy thing, since girls seem to have long and excited conversations when they see someone for the first time in some time. But I just go straight back to normal conversation as if we hadn't had time away from each other. Is that normal? How do you guys catch up with friends? How have you been doing? Does it demand anything other than fine, thanks, in response? And any other questions I think of are too vague to generate anything worthwhile. I'm still in school. Which I'm guessing is pretty relevant.
It's extremely, extremely, completely relevant. It is
totally,
so super,
totally relevant.
Super Jermaine Jackson to this conversation.
The thing I remember most about going to school in Oklahoma is every time I would return home to West Virginia, there were two different classifications of people. There was one classification that were my actual real life friends that would be like, oh, hey. And then we would just hang out like I hadn't been gone for 4 months. And then there were people that without fail asked the question, so how's Oklahoma?
Yeah.
To which my response was always
hot,
very
and flat.
Flat.
Yeah.
It's very windy. Thank you very much.
I think that you bring up the role of gender in this. And
yeah, I don't think it plays a part.
No, I think it does to an extent, but not in the way that you think of it. I think that everybody reaches an age where they sort of circle back around and say, "Man, I have not kept in very good touch with my friends, I need to like make a more concerted effort to stay involved in their lives because it's uncomfortable when I do see them and like have no fucking idea like what they're up to.
Mm-hmm.
I think that women do reach that point a bit earlier than dudes do. Like, I think like in most aspects of life, like women mature a bit faster in that sense where they're like, I don't know, a few years before dudes, they have the realization of like, oh man, I need to get on the phone more and like talk to my friends.
This will surprise no one, but I'm just abysmal at this. I mean, just the absolute worst. Because here's my fear. I mean, and I think it's legitimate. My fear is that I'll ask someone the question of the thing that they absolutely don't want to talk about. Like,
so how's your girlfriend? We broke up. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Real rough.
How's your family? Dead.
That's Falcone. My whole family's dead. Pray to me. Yes. I think that the act of catching up is one that requires you to debase yourself on a level.
It is. Like, it is. That's exactly what it is, Griffin. It is laying yourself at their altar and saying, like, "I am so sorry. This is my admission. I have no shit. I have no clue. I have no idea.
I am a fucking." It really does require you to say, like, "I'm a fucking terrible friend because I didn't know that like you dumped this person 2 years ago, started dating someone else, you're married, and you have 5 kids. Like, well, I fucked up. That's on me."
But here's the other side of that coin, though. When that happens to me, like if I say, like, "So how's things? You know, how's what's her face or whatever?" And then they say, "Oh, we broke up." If they handle it well, if they're like, "Oh, you know, we broke up a while ago. I'm actually seeing someone new. She's great." Right, and then it's like, okay, cool. This is the type of person I want to catch up with again the next time I see them. If they're like, "You dick, we broke up and it's been real rough." In my head, I mark out their names on a giant list that says, "Next time, no eye contact with this."
Yep, gave it a shot, but that one's done.
You blew it.
The funny thing about this is, and I think it's time to be, if I'm being honest, I think when we are on the reverse side of the situation, there is a part of all of us that says, "Man, I hope they ask about that one thing because I'm going to fucking drop the bomb on this floor. Please, please, please.
I'm going to win this catching up."
You're saying there's an inherent joy associated with like fucking shaming somebody to be
just
like
dropping the bomb on them.
Oh, I haven't been doing that for like 4 years. What the fuck? What are you talking
me
about?
In disgrace.
Here's the thing, though. I think that like I get psyched after those conversations happen. Like after if it's somebody that like I genuinely like want to reconnect with them, I'm like, you have to get curious about what those people have been up to. Like you have to want to genuinely catch up and not be making small talk. Because after I do that, like after I catch up with an old friend, which like I've been doing a lot of, especially with like getting married, like I've been sending out invitations to people that I don't talk to other than like once a year where we have a very superficial catch up time. Like I get fucking psyched to be, it's like catching up on a TV show that everybody's talking about. It's like, oh, I I'm right there with you now, and now we can like talk on the reg because I am up to date with the latest and greatest of your shit.
The Griffin makes a great point, and it's sort of central to this, I think, is that the secret to it is you have to be, if you're having a hard time coming up with a question for a person, you maybe need to reevaluate getting interested in that person, getting interested in people, because like that's, we've talked about it a lot, and it's like an old Dale Carnegie thing, but like that's how you make friends and keep them, is you get interested in people.
But
if you can't think of anything you're curious about, then that may be a sign that you maybe need to reevaluate like how your approach, because you should be curious. If you care about somebody even a little bit, then you should kind of be curious about what's going on.
But I would say that I think that there is a certain amount of that. Hey, how's it going? Haven't seen you in a while. Oh, it's going great. Like, there's a reason that everybody does that, because like that's the agreed upon like exchange between two people that aren't actually close but haven't seen each other in a while. And it's letting go of the shame of being like, oh, I don't care about this person. They don't care about you.
If you're going to dinner with like 13 old friends for an hour, like that's not the venue to be like tell me everything that's happened to you. Like, we lost touch in college. Tell me everything that's happened to you. Like, you have to, like, you know, put in the time to call them and, like, just swallow. Here's the thing. Like, they obviously haven't kept in touch with you either. So, like, if they're genuinely interested in what you've been up to, then there's no, like, downside to swallowing your pride and admitting, like, I haven't kept up with your shit. Like, let's reconnect now, and then we don't, hopefully, if we do a better job of staying in touch, we never have to have this conversation ever again.
Yeah, start walking with them before you just, like, start running. You know, ask the little questions first, and then you can get into, like, the big shit.
And
but, or, like, start running. They'll never catch you. They will not see it
just
coming.
Just start running. I've got friends, you know, that I went to college with, and there are some people that I see, you know, randomly running into when I'm in, a different city. And it's like, oh, hey, what's up? How's it going? And then I have some, you know, my friend Trevor, I hadn't seen in like 5 years. And we just instantly dropped into a conversation like, you know, we were hung out the day before. You know, it's just knowing how to interact with different friends is kind of, it's a case-by-case basis. But just, you know, care. Be friends.
Just care. That's all you have to do is care. Or hide better. There's a part of me whenever I get in a conversation like that, it's kicking myself like I should have gone behind the winter coats.
I leave the house?
They would have never seen you there.
Oh, it's a grim window in my psyche.
That's the new name of the podcast.
I once ripped my little brother's foil Charizard Pokemon card in a fit of teenage rage. Whew. It has been 12 years. And my brother still has not forgiven me. He said the card was worth $50, and I've provided him with money quite a few times over the years, but he still brings up that Pokemon card every chance he gets. How can I get him to forgive me, or at least quit bringing it up? That's from Amber in Arizona. Amber.
Well, let me ask you this. Like, Griffin, for example, how would you make it up to someone if, say, you reformatted a PlayStation memory card and erased someone's Final Fantasy VII game when they were moments away from beating the game? And they'd put, like, 100 hours into it. How would you make that up to someone?
That's just oddly specific.
And say they, like, collected everyone's, like, final weapons and final limit breaks. And they were very, very close to beating the game, and you reformatted the card. How would you make that up to them?
I think setting them free from their Japanese role-playing game prison that their mind had been their vulnerable teenage mind had been imprisoned in, instead of, like, going around and, like, having sex with women and, like, you know, making friends and forging lifelong memories and friendships and, like, going to the football game and tailgating and, like, getting in trouble and, like, you know, staying out after curfew and, like, doing all the shit from that Jack and Diane song. I think that that's a fucking reward in and of itself.
So you're saying that the action itself was a kindness?
I'm saying you had a very serious addiction. And I swooped in there like John Quinones.
Maybe an option is to tell your brother that you realize that that card was an idol to him, and thou shalt have no false idols above thy Lord God. So you were trying to save his immortal soul by destroying that card, which he worshipped.
Yeah, that's precisely it. Man, the ending of that game is so fucking good, though.
I fucking hate you so much.
You know what? Man, I would still be angry, too. That card is so rare. It's so, like, the kids in my middle school who had that card, it was, like, a fucking status symbol. It had nothing to do with the value.
They wore it on a chain around their necks. It had been gilded.
It had nothing to do with the value of the card. It had to do with, like, the triumph. Because you say it's worth $50, but it's actually worth however much money he spent on Pokemon cards to get that card. Mm-hmm. Which was probably in the thousands.
I think what you're going to have to do is name your firstborn child Charizard Foil. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And then let your sister tear them in half.
That's the wisdom of Solomon right there, Justin.
I can make this very easy for you. It is not a problem. Go to eBay. I just did it for you. Type Charizard card and it's $30, okay?
Justin,
you grab one for
$30. Do you not understand the difference?
You get it, you throw it in his face, and say, there, we're square.
Well,
and
no.
Then tear it in front of him again. Do it again.
This is my card. You can tear it in half now if you want. There's a Pokemon Charizard First Edition base set Shadowless card graded PSA 8 near mint holo. You can get that for $750 on eBay right now. one thing I do want to say about this listing is that 15 people are looking at it an hour, according to eBay, which is a great short story in and of itself.
Got it.
There's 15 people who are like, I'm going to get you. I'm sorely tempted.
I fucking...
Last minute bid.
I fucking cashed out way too soon. I fucking got out of this trade craft way too early. Like a decade too early.
You know, but Griffin, for every dude who got out of Pokemon's too early, there's a dude who's just... There's like 30 dudes who are just sitting on Pogs, being like they're coming back.
Here they come.
This sweet Wolverine Slammer, it's going to be worth something when that comes out.
I think I read a story in the Examiner like a month or so ago about this family that spent like 50 Gs, like 50 large stacks on Beanie Babies, and the headline was, family regrets amount of money they spent on Beanie Babies. It's like, no shit, dog. Like, that's... That seems pretty... I don't think you need that in 18-point font. Like, I think that's pretty...
I watched the little video that accompanied that, the little documentary that accompanied that, and the dad, who was sort of the driving force, had this T-shirt on that said, bankrupted by beanies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he probably got it when beanies were popular, and he could wear it, and other beanie fans would be like, oh, you. And now it's, like, literal... I've been literally bankrupted.
I brought so much shame to my family. It seems almost accusatory.
We've been eating Beanie Babies. We've been eating the beans that are inside of them.
It seems almost accusatory, doesn't it? That, like, you can't, like, fucking blame this on the banking bust. Like, somebody, all the banks sold me these predatory Beanie Baby futures. Like, no, you dumb shit. Like,
the Beanie Baby bubble is busted.
Yeah.
I can't deal with Pokemon cards right now. Because I'm going to get the $750 one for Griffin for his birthday. What do you do with a $750 Pokemon card after you buy it?
Tear it in half.
And feel more
just
powerful.
Just because you can.
It's me. It's Jay-Z. Coming over to the crib tonight. We're tearing in half $750 Pokemon card. Everybody that walks in gets to tear in half a rare Pokemon card.
We're using some as coasters. We're eating some.
I got a holofoil Jigglypuff I got from the launch of the first movie back in 2001. We're going to roll a J with it.
Smack it.
It's going to taste fucking gross because I don't know what they put in holofoil. I bet like nickel and shit.
We're never going to afford these cards if we don't get rich, so let's do that. Tell you guys about my hot new podcast that I don't make, but I heard about. It's called
But
Ninjas.
You are taking over.
I'm taking it over. Check out Justin McElroy's Ninjas Versus podcast on iTunes, and you can go head to arcadecomedytheater.com. This Ninjas Versus podcast is a weekly comedy debate show, and they're performing their first ever live show at the Arcade Comedy Theater in Pittsburgh. Ninjas Versus podcast consists of three friends deliberating burning queries like Mumford and Sons versus Sanford and Son, and which is better, great comedic timing or great comedic miming? This show is going to be August 15th, 9 p.m. You're going to have to pay $5, and there's free beer. So that's...
Admission is $5, and there's free beer.
Yes. So what this is an ad from us to you for $5 beer that you
can
drink.
All you can drink.
All you can drink.
Well, they didn't say die. It could just be like... Like a Dixie cup. You show up and they give you like a Dixie cup of a Pilsner. But that's probably
so that's either way, you're going to be laughing. And that's
maybe
that's
all you can drink,
thing.
Too. Maybe you've had like gastric bypass.
maybe you have a gluten sensitivity.
Become a fan beforehand. Go to Ninjas Versus Podcast on iTunes. And then when you're ready, head over to Arcade Comedy Theater to get some details on the show. And
even if you don't like the show, $5 all you can drink. You can listen to a podcast in the background when you get blasted.
Well,
yeah, why not?
I mean, I don't think they appreciate us saying, you can drown them out over the sounds of your own gulping.
No, because then what you might find is, oh, wait, I love this.
You'll be too busy guzzling to laugh at the jokes. No, I'm sure it's...
Speaking of guzzling.
Oh, God. Worst one ever. Speaking of guzzling, extremistface.com is your adult superstore. Ugh. Ugh.
You want to guzzle up the savings.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what it is.
Yeah, that's what you meant, Travis. ExtremeStrains.com is my favorite website for adult toys. I personally want to recommend this to you. Here's one I wanted to feature this week. the oppressor chastity device. Now, what this does is it hurts your wiener. But here's the other thing. It can also hurt your butt with a little spherical ball that you, I think you sit on it, and it can go in your butt and hold your wiener.
Yes.
Wherever you want to feel unpleasant.
One word to you. That. One word to you, butt sphere. Good luck getting in there. Good luck. Have a good time trying. But I think you're going to find it pretty difficult.
I tell you the item that I, now that I've received some things from extrememachines.com as a paid spokesperson, I think the one thing that they need that they don't seem to sell, at least not that I've seen, is Secret Box, which is, these look great when they're on your wiener and in your butt, but they can't always be there.
Yeah.
So I need them to invest in like secret horror compartments that like no one can access and no one can know about. Like,
what if it was just like camouflage things where it's like, this looks like a flower pot, but what's that? It's your anal beads.
Yeah. What if little Susie and little Tim Tim are searching around for Christmas presents, and what did they find? The opposite of Christmas presents.
What if it's just a box that says vegetables then? And then
near it. Vegetable taxes. They sell a little box with a printed out piece of paper that says vegetable taxes. It's $19.99.
Here's the thing is that they're in my house right now, in my home where I live, there's a foot long plastic dick that's 4 inches around. And I've hidden it as best I can, but let's say this. If anybody comes by my house and they need a tote bag, I hope they don't pick that one.
Or what if there's a fire, and later they're cleaning up all of the stuff, the wreckage, and they move, you know, a burned chair, and boom, there's a big unburned dick.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, everything sold at Extreme Restraints is completely inflammable.
They should want it to be, yeah.
They should make airplanes out of them, out of giant plastic dicks.
Go to extrememachines.com and use the coupon code SEXABUNGA to save 20%.
Still going strong.
And thank you to them.
Thank you, hackers. Thank you, Snowden, for not leaking our shit. We really, really appreciate it.
I'm Cameron Esposito, and I'm the host of Maximum Fun's new podcast, Wham Bam Pow, a sci-fi movie show and action movies also. Did I forget to say action movies? Every week I'll be joined by Mr.
Ricky Carmona
and Ms.
Rhea Butcher.
And we are going to chat about films, we're going to tell jokes, we're going to be hilarious, we're going to play games, we're going to have guests, we're going to give reviews. It's going to blow your mind. If you want to listen to the show, you can find it at MaximumFun.org. Or you can subscribe on iTunes. Can you believe how many things I just listed?
So many things.
Wham!
That's great.
Hey guys, I'm feeling kind of rural right now.
I'm good.
Yeah.
And you know what that means? It's time for farm wisdom. Farm wisdom. Pick up your pitchfork and fork a pitch. Farm wisdom.
Somebody accused you of stealing that shit. Did you see that? Somebody put you on blast on Twitter.
What did I steal it from?
One of those Perry Ellis songs.
You mean the clothing designer, Perry Ellis?
No, who's the guy who did the baby monkey riding backwards on a pig?
Yeah, like all his songs sounded like that, but it's my song. I don't think he has one called Farm Wisdom.
I mean, no, but like the melody. Music
the melody?
You can't claim music and lyrics by Justin McRae on that anymore in the credits of the podcast.
I've been meaning to put credits at the end of the podcast, but now I'm not even going to start. Guys, did Travis, yes. Farm wisdom, hit me. I'm ready.
Did you know that farmers feed magnets to their cows in order to prevent or treat hardware disease?
Holy shit.
Hardware disease is just like it sounds. When a cow eats a piece of hardware, a nail, a screw, a piece of barbed wire, and gets sick, when you feed the cows the magnet, it usually drops into the reticulum compartment of the stomach and attracts any metal the cow ate. When the stomach muscles contract to help move food around, loose metal can puncture through the stomach wall and travel to other areas of the body and have been found puncturing the heart. The magnet helps keep the metal safely in the stomach, and that's from Jess.
Okay, wait a minute. Stop. Farmers, that's a pretty smart idea. What's not so smart is calling that a disease. Guys, yeah. That's not a disease. They squat. How dumb are you, farmers? I thought you guys were on point. Diseases are germs. That's not a disease. You swallowed a nail.
Yeah. You just call it like hardware oopsie.
When I get stabbed, I don't say I have knife-itis.
I can't come in today. I've got a very, very bad case of knife.
Griffin, you want to read this other one? I forget who actually always reads these. Does Travis always read them?
Well, let Griffin read the second one.
Mountain lions will chase down and murder anything that tries to run away from them. Fuck. If you find yourself being stalked by one, stand your ground, maintain eye contact, make as much noise as possible, start masturbating very, very, very fast. Mountain lions hate masturbators. They are scared of it. And humans do it. Never turn your back, bend over, or crouch down in any circumstances. All that stuff about masturbation was fake. Sorry.
Why would you?
It's a fucking dominant. So
I see a mountain lion. Okay?
That's from Jordan, by the way.
Thanks, Jordan.
I see a mountain lion, mm-hmm. and my reaction is to turn around and bend over.
Is this what you want?
Is this what you want, mountain lion?
You like the hind?
Good luck! Super fucking tight!
I wasted like $20 on ShermanChase.com trying to find something to go in there.
I feel like this is one of those pieces of advice that's like really great to hear. If I see a mountain lion, what's not going to go through my brain is, now is the time to not run away.
Now is the time you got something to prove to this cougar.
I am not going to make eye contact with that mountain lion, and I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to be running and pooping my pants.
No, what you're going to do, Travis, is you're going to start taking your dick out, and you'll be like, wait, which was the real thing? Ah, fuck. I just doomed Travis. Maybe. Oh, maybe mountain lions really don't like it.
Another hiker claimed by a mountain lion masturbation disease.
You could probably creep a mountain lion out pretty solidly that way.
Hey, whoa.
Oh.
I didn't say stop.
You guys want a Yahoo?
Yeah, please.
This Yahoo is sent in by Ira Ray.
Are you Ira Ray?
Who wants to know? It's asked by Yahoo Answers User question mark. Another one claimed. Can a 27-year-old sign up for high school again? I want to see if I can go back to high school. I have a car and bigger muscles now. So I think I'll be more popular the second time around. And I've always wanted to be prom king. So what do I need to go back to high school?
Is this buzz marketing for 21 Jump Street?
I'm getting my master's in high school. I'm getting my post-grad in high school.
What you need is a teaching certificate. And then you can go back as a teacher.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
That's the only way you can go back there. And then beat up all the people who are mean to you, I guess.
There's no loophole where you can, like... I recognize now, at the age of 26, when I've finished... Unless I go back for some master's program, which doesn't seem likely. Like, I've done all the school I'm going to do, mm-hmm. and it's only now that I realize, like, man, I actually like learning. Like, fuck, I wish I'd paid attention to, like, anything.
Yeah. I feel that way, too. Now that I'm older... I'm, like, reading books to teach myself
things. I'm, like, trying to teach myself, like, complex subjects that are impossible to teach yourself. And I'm like, man, if only I had fucking, like, done anything. Like, any amount of work instead of just, like, the requisite shit to get by.
Mm-hmm.
I think college should be something you get to do in installments. Because that way you really appreciate it. Because as you get older, you want to learn. I like learning now. Back then, I hated waking up more.
I think that after, like, when you complete your sophomore year, someone should sit you down and be like, are you appreciating this? And you're like, yeah, I'm not.
I'm probably not.
I'm like, okay, great. Cool. Just go off for a while, and when you do appreciate this, we'll welcome you back.
But, Trav, you can't put that like that. If there's a definition of what adulthood is, it's realizing that you didn't appreciate stuff enough.
Yeah.
Because if you can figure out how to turn back time and do that easy stuff again, because, like, let's be honest, going to college, for all its ups and downs, is a lot easier than having a job.
Yeah.
So what if,
okay,
what if we start giving jobs to 12-year-olds? And then you work from 12 to 21, and then you get to go back to school.
What
but
if?
But the only jobs we give them are college professors. Now hear me out.
Okay.
I think your best bet is to procreate, and then you and your child get into a very loud and public fight in front of a gypsy, and they Freaky Friday you.
That's just one of many options you have.
And then at the end of the movie, the gypsy's like, you learned your lesson. It's time to switch you back. And it's like, actually, you know, I'm actually cool. I'm pretty cool, actually, as is.
That's the biggest lie.
This is our second big Freaky Friday reference, though. I think we referenced it like 10 episodes ago. Because I think that in reality, every adult wants to be fucking 16
That's
again.
The greatest lie of all. Because if you're a kid again, it's like, whoa, okay, I'm going to go on the run now and let my teenager die in my old body.
Fuck you, dad. Enjoy taxes, bitch.
Enjoy vegetables and or taxes.
But don't look in the vegetable taxes box.
Oh, God. That would be the only reason to switch back, because you're afraid of your child adult finding your vegetable taxes box.
All right, Dad, son, it's time. It's April. I really need the e-file. Where are they at? Where's the documents?
I'm still trying to learn about documents.
Don't do this. Don't go to a high school like you are, as you are now as a man. You won't be allowed in. They won't let you in like you are now. You're old and...
They'll know.
They'll know that you don't want to do great things there. So I wouldn't even try. It probably seems like a good idea in the brain. But I'm pretty sure hindsight's going to be 20/20 on this particular thing that you want to do that's terrible.
Especially when you're on 2020. Mm-hmm. And they're like, what were you thinking? And you're like, you know, in hindsight.
This grown man tried to wear a Justin Bieber t-shirt and go back to high school. What would you do?
What if he went 4 years and he made it to senior prom and he was in the running? And then, like, 2 days before, like, I don't know, some kid lost his legs that it was also in the running, lost his legs in some sort of industrial accident. And this guy's like, fuck! Like, I spent 4 years for this day. And this is
the worst day of my life.
And this little leg kid's gonna fucking swoop in at the last second.
He probably won't be swooping.
Like some sort of legless Tarzan. Son of a bitch.
On the plus side,
gotta do it again.
Gotta do it 31, again.
31, start all over in a different town.
On the plus side, I'm sick at times tables, and my cursive is off the chart.
It's fucking insane. They don't do cursive actually anymore, I don't think, in schools.
Nope. They have that?
That's why no one writes checks anymore.
Yeah. It's state by state, actually, I think. That's no bullshit. I think it's state by state.
I was terrible. I got C. Why did that have to drag down my GPA that I had bad handwriting? Great.
I don't think I don't think that factored in.
It did.
Justin is a mathematical genius, but he has some trouble with the cursive lowercase z. 2.2.
I just don't think that because I was bad at math and writing and gym. Oh man, I get bad grades in gym.
When you say bad at gym, you mean you weren't so psyched about like having your dick out around other kids, right?
That's right. You were supposed to dress out every day, and I didn't want to because I was fat. So what I did was I wore sweatpants to school every day. Whew. That was playing the short game. That's what they call that. that was a short game I was playing. Hey, let's answer another question before
Isn't that fucked up that your GPA was dependent on your ability to get your dick out around other people? That's kind of fucked up, isn't it? Like, hey, McElroy, go take your dick out. In a room full of your peers.
Though I will say that was the only thing that trained me for any real life situations in adulthood.
Where you had to get your dick out?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it trained me in the sense that, like, when I'm an adult now and somebody says, hey, McElroy, take your dick out, I know now to say, like, no, bad touch.
No, thank you.
Absolutely not.
I don't think
And also, I'm better at badminton.
That's mm-hmm. true.
My boyfriend and I wanted to know what is the socially acceptable age group for visiting a petting zoo. We don't have any kids, but he really likes animals. They have reindeer. That's from Zany and Zaftig at the zoo.
Don't reindeer give you
reindeer disease?
No, they give you like their horns have what's it called when your skin falls off?
What?
Necrotizing fasciitis?
No,
like, leprosy.
Leprosy. Yeah, the Bible shit.
Are you telling me reindeer have leprosy on their horns?
They're just carriers?
I don't think it's like I don't think it like they're affected by it or else fucking every Christmas tale ever would be like a horrifying Saw-esque experience. But yeah, I think they have. I think they give you leprosy if you like touch their.
Their antlers are coated in leprosy.
So okay, let's assume that the reindeer antlers have been de-leprosied and try to answer the question.
I don't think you can. I think it's like a natural excretion. I don't think when they're born, somebody comes, the fucking leprosy fairy gives them their only coating of leper. Like, what kind of fucking sense does that make, idiot?
Are reindeer like moose in that every season, like, their antlers fall off and regrow?
I don't think that's real either.
That's true with moose.
That's why they get every year. That's why they have leprosy. It's what causes their shit to fall off.
Oh, it makes their horns fall off. Right. Their antlers, please.
Sorry, why reindeer are known as God's funniest joke. These things are beautiful. I'm going to put leprosy in them somewhere. You know that every animal
good luck, Santa. Good luck, Santa. Why does God hate Santa so much?
Because he's trying to, like, take over.
That's true.
Do you think every animal has a place where it gets leprosy?
Where's your leprosy compartment? Oh, God.
Yeah, you can't. If it's a regular zoo, if it's a petting zoo inside of a regular zoo, and, like, you're an adult there, I think it's okay, because, like, parents will see you and be like, oh, they're being ironic.
Here's the thing. I think that the answer is, as long as you are paired off, there is no problem. If you are by yourself...
That's a
completely different case. Like, because here's the thing. Okay, real life experience. Me by myself, like, you know, making faces at a baby, creeps people out. I'm a grown man with a beard and I'm making faces at their children. But if Teresa's standing next to me, it's adorable.
Right, but isn't that true for literally any situation? Like, anytime you see a dude by himself anywhere, don't you just, like, instinctually, like, oh, he's fucking creeping on someone?
Yeah. that's what I'm saying. It's like, as long as you're coupled out, you're safe.
I think that's part of our fucking... I think it's part of the genetic human experience. I think that's why we seek out partners to, like, make it through life, is so when people see us, they're not instantly skeezed.
Now, that's 100% true. We try to talk about, I think we try to tear down gender walls here on my brother and me. The one I can't help is that if I see a woman standing by herself, I think, well, she's probably working or waiting for someone or just relaxing. If I see a guy by himself, I immediately
assume. Who's he trying to fuck? Is he trying to fuck me? Ooh, I hope not. Is he
trying to kill somebody or fuck somebody or steal something?
I just assume he's going to punch me. I don't know why, but, like, every time I see just, like, a random dude, I'm like, I'm going to get in a fight with that guy.
Do you know why? It's because that dude, like, speaking from experience, like, whenever I'm out somewhere alone, the only thing I'm thinking about is, man, I hope nobody thinks I'm going to fuck somebody or kill someone. And when you do that, you put on a grimace on your face that just, like, screams, like, here it comes, get ready.
I think there is one circumstance in which being coupled out does not protect you from judgment.
When's that?
And it is if you are at a children's playground, coupled out, no kids.
Then
that's an easy fix, though. That's no problem.
Just don't all be you there.
And this, I was actually going to suggest this for the petting zoo. When you're at the petting zoo, every 3 minutes or so, just go, Dylan! And then look around.
Don't put your fingers in its mouth, Dylan.
Just like you don't know where he is. Dylan, get back here.
Don't do that if you're the only two people there, though, with the farmer.
Or if there's, like, two parents and two kids, and you're like, Dylan? And they're like, I can clearly see.
If the law of large numbers is not in your favor, then don't...
And if that happens, you have to carry out the con and keep screaming and just lose your mind and, like, call the police.
If there's only one other family there with one kid, they're like, man, their kid is super lost. I haven't seen that kid in, like, the whole time I've been here. Fuck. How did you fuck up this bad?
It's offensive. Did the goat eat him?
I haven't seen another kid in, like, 3 hours. What have you been fucking doing?
Why have you not widened the perimeter of your search? Man,
so we got super into this goat for, like, 3 hours. Oh, we fucked up so bad. What if our kid got leprosy so bad he just dissolved? Ah, fuck. Man.
Listen, we didn't find him this week. We'll have to come back next weekend at approximately the same time, pet some more animals, just hope for the best.
How much is that vending machine that gives you pellets you can feed the thing? Also, it's just a quarter? That's a really good deal.
Do you have some kind of season pass so we can just keep coming back here unrestricted to look for our sweet Dylan?
This is the last place he saw us. He'll return here.
Oh, we're so exhausted from looking for our Dylan for like 3 hours. We're just going to pet this goat for a bit.
We're really stressed out. Do you guys have any like treats or anything you could give us?
Don't you?
We're just really stressed.
Don't you fucking judge us for giving up on the search so quickly. We're tired.
And these animals are soft.
And these. Let me just touch this goose for a second. I'm just gonna touch it for a second. Can you get off? Sorry, I'm not Miss Perfect.
Sorry, you know where your kids are. Okay, Dad of the Year.
What if this same family is there every time you're there, every weekend, and they're like, yeah, yeah, after 2 years, like, yeah, fucking sure, there's a Dylan. And then on, like, year five, a preteen with a stubbly beard comes wandering out of the woods like, Mom, Dad!
I was in the bathroom!
I was in the bathroom for 5 years. Got a goat in there.
I've been living off toilet paper.
He taught me to read.
Not like raised by toilet paper. I mean, like he ate it.
No, I meant like there's a goat.
So you're saying he would become sort of like a Tarzan figure.
Yeah.
But the only thing he'd be great at is peeing and watching people pee and not be seen watching people pee.
This family would eventually put it together like, what if the bathroom monster is Dylan? Hey, guys. Have you been in the bathroom? Because there's like a totally crazy kid in there. How you've been here every weekend for 5 years and you haven't gone to the bathroom? We go before. The goats know. The goats know when you have to go and like they don't like it.
We should have checked the bathroom though. In retrospect, that was our
fault. That was our fault. It's like the only building here. It's like the only building.
Now if you'll excuse us, we have to try to re-indoctrinate our son into society. Keep him out of the bathroom.
Has anyone seen him?
Has anyone seen him?
Ah, shit. God damn it. We're going to restart the search, I guess. Let me just go over to the reindeer pen just for like 2 or 3 hours more.
But then that family catches you in the parking lot paying off the actor you've paid to live in a bathroom for 5 years and play Dylan. Wait a minute.
Still the guy's
fishy going on.
You know, I wondered what happened to Zachary Ty Bryant. That's what it's...
He would make a great Doctor Who now that he's fucking feral. Now that he's a feral bathroom monster.
Hey, listen. Everybody, thank you so much for listening to our program. We hope you enjoyed it. Thanks to so many people tweeting about the show. Faded Glory, our old buddy Rabbit, Mitch Reeder, Elizabeth, Brendan Brown, Matt Calder, James Childs, Luther, Mario Panagetti. That looks good. Panagetti, yeah, sure. Nikki the Rat, Bourbon Ghost. Everybody, thank you so much. I sure appreciate you tweeting about the show and sharing it. If you get a chance, tweet a link to our sampler. It's bit.ly/mbmbam2013.
And if you have a birthday shout out, or if you have like a product or your own show or anything you think everyone should listen to, just go to maximumfun.org/jumbotron and you could be in the money zone and we'll talk about your shit.
Seriously, everybody, thank you for the warm response to the clip show we did last week. I think people seem to enjoy it because a lot of that shit is like apocryphal at this point.
The good news is if we do another one, the sound quality will be better.
Man, seriously, like how the fuck did anybody start listening? Like it sounded so awful.
I'm glad you guys replaced the original Travis.
Yeah.
I
sound totally I sound like 100 times nerdier. I don't know what happened. Mm-hmm. We may do more of those, maybe. There's going to be a lot of traveling and wedding shit over the next few months, so
I hope we don't, because what started out as a clever plan to save myself from having to work on a new episode turned into like a 10-hour project where I was going through every old episode.
Trying to find something not awful.
Yeah, trying to find something worthwhile. So thank you. I'm glad you liked it. I want to remind everybody that this is the last week to help out our buddy Tristan the Marine. We are working with Operation Supply Drop to bring him and his fellow soldiers,
his brothers in video, arms and sisters,
his brothers
in arms.
If you will, some games and cool stuff. This is the last week to donate. We really want to make a big push, big showing. Huge thanks to James Bromwell, who's going to ship out a GameCube and controllers to the guys. They were very much wanting some retro stuff, so we're getting that in their hands. We've got $380 raised right now from 12 contributors. I know we can do better than that, Bambinos.
I'd love if we could just like really blow it out.
Let's blow it out.
And really show some support.
If you've been waiting, this is the time. Go to OperationSupplyDrop.com. Look for Modern Era. There's a button on the front page. And donate to that so we can help those guys out.
They're fighting for your fucking freedoms. So just I don't want to guilt you, but they're fighting for your fucking freedom. So
yeah. And there's another donation on there right now that's beating us by $75, and I just want to dominate. I want us to be the greatest, most generous podcast ever.
Create an enormous divide in the military. Yes. Of like, I want those dudes to see what we did for Tristan and his pals and be like, fuck, like we should have backed that horse. We should have listened to that podcast.
Oh, mm-hmm. It looks like we got another one. DJ Lockhead said on the Facebook that he was going to send him a GameCube and some controllers to Smash Brothers 2. So we're going to be hooking those dudes up. And you can help out. OperationSupplyDrop.com. Go there right now. This is your last chance, and help. It's very easy, and it's awesome. So,
I want to thank John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song, which is the song "It's a Departure," which is off the album "Putting the Days to Bed." Go buy it on Amazon, then buy it on iTunes,
and then erase it, and then buy it again.
Yeah, just keep doing that like every week, and that's your Hail Mary for the week.
Thank you so much, Griffin. I believe you have a last question for us enjoy.
This final Yahoo was sent in by Krista Whalen. Thank you, Krista. It's by Yasu's Answers. It's by
Jesus Answers.
It's by Puneet Mahajan, who says, "I love Green Day very much. Where do you live?"
I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother and me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.